Good morning and welcome once again to The Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And today we're going to conclude our discussion about Rick Warren's peace plan for the world. Yesterday we ended by talking about the harvest is great, but his laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And Rick Warren is promoting that we go out into the world, but we don't take the Bible with us. We don't take the gospel with us. We don't take our biblical doctrines with us. Anybody can get involved in his peace plan. He wants to work with Muslims, the Islams, the Hindus, doesn't matter to him. He mentioned all of them. So I would say this, in Luke 10 is where that the harvest is truly great and the laborers are few came from. And if, you know, we look carefully at Luke 10, it's about sending laborers to the harvest. Verse 6 says, and if the Son of Peace is there, and if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. This is speaking of those who are open to the gospel message. Peace is what the disciples gave to a house if they received them and their gospel message. If a city refused the message, they were to pronounce judgment, not just any judgment, but the one that gave total annihilation. He told them it'd be better, more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for the city that rejected these folks. Jesus told his disciples, he told them to go out and call people to repentance. Warren lifts out a portion of the scripture and adjusts it to his message of ignoring our differences so we can work together for peace without Christ. To conclude, Warren's interpretation of Luke 10 is very different. Would actually be an understatement, folks. He's carefully invested himself in this because he believes he wants it to bring a new reformation, his reformation. Rick Warren explained to Charlie Rose on an interview on TV his inclusive vision for the World Peace Plan. He told Rose that Jesus sent out his disciples to go find the man of peace in every village. He said Jesus sent them out to find people who would work with them on solving poverty, sickness, and other problems of the world. He said that they did not have to agree with the disciples' message or beliefs, only that they are willing to work on common issues. Warren insists that we don't have to have the same religion or moral beliefs to work with people on poverty, disease, and etc. Well, you know, this may be so, folks, in a general sense, but what is the church's priority given by God, not modern man? Well, to bring spiritual reconciliation, a word Warren uses without the same meaning, naturally. At the Clinton Global Initiative, Rick Warren was asked how the church could solve the problems of the world. His response was the numbering of Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, and Christians in the world, that when we all become united, we can solve more, far more than we are now. While this general appeal to compassion, you know, may seem noble, folks, there's much to contend with. This is what he says over and over. There's no such thing as biblical separation in Warren's plan, but there is separating from those who will not agree with his way. Warren said, it's called the people of faiths, plural. There are 600 million Buddhists in the world. That's a large number. There are 800 million Hindus in the world. There are 1 billion Muslims in the world. There are 2.3 billion Christian members of churches. They all matter. When I think about 2.3 billion people who say they're a member of a church somewhere, that makes the church bigger than China. That makes the church bigger than India. In fact, it makes the church bigger than than China and India put together. Now, if you want to say, well, we can't have anybody of any faith do an humanitarian effort, you just ruled out most of the world. Because really, outside of Manhattan and Europe, there aren't really that many secularists. The fact is, most people have some kind of faith. It doesn't matter to me what it is at that point, but if they're willing to work on the issues, that's what matters. Now, that's in 2007, Rick Warren speaking at the Clinton Global Initiative. This makes you sick, don't it? Now, I've got links to all this stuff. Anybody wants to email me, I can give you links to these things. That Clinton Global Initiative thing and everything. I got those links. So don't hesitate to email and ask them. I'll certainly send them to you. So if you go over what he said, he called them people of faith, plural, stating Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, etc. Those of other religions all have faith. Warren's answer, the fact is most people have some kind of faith. It does not matter to me what it is at that point, but if they're willing to work on the issues, that's what matters. But what kind of faith would that be? In another God, millions of gods, or no God? What's a man trying to say here? What kind of a man who claims to be called of God, the one true God, to preach the gospel, the Bible, and then to say this kind of stuff? Well, you know, it does matter to God, folks, no matter what Rick Warren might think. A good example, our example, is Israelites who were warned not to enter into agreements, covenant, or marriage with surrounding people, or they would be led away to worship other gods. Israel was led into Babylon. Are we going to revisit that same mistake, folks? That's a good question, isn't it? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? That's exactly right. If you don't go by the Bible, anything can be moved into the imaginary circle that you've made for faiths. All is permissible. Warren is willing to have unity in the faith, folks, instead of unity in the faith. He has, and I say that plurally, the first part, unity in the faiths, instead of unity in the faith. This shows us where he's leading the church, and that is, folks, off of a cliff. Does the Bible have anything to say on this? Of course it does. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? If you don't consider them unbelievers because they believe in a God, then you have abandoned evangelism, folks. You cannot call yourself an evangelical. And that's what Warren says he is. We're told in many examples, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You see, Rick Warren really needs to understand that he's lost his way with the Lord's work and with the Lord's word. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son. That's Galatians 2:20. That, my friend, is a faith the Bible teaches, the faith that Paul had. If you have this faith, you're a Christian, not another religion. Yet, listen to me, Warren at his 25th anniversary said this. Warren's is a man who used human reasoning, not biblical, to see. Well, I don't see where that's at. I'm going to have to change, do that a little different. But anyway, Rick Warren is promoting faiths with an S, plural, and nowhere in the Bible will you find the word faiths in the Bible. Nor is a concept found in the Bible. Why? Because according to the Bible, there's only one faith. And this one faith, evidently, Rick Warren no longer is earnestly contending for. He's not searching and contending for that one faith. He's willing to work with non-believers, believers who follow another God. It doesn't matter to him as long as he can feed people and solve some of the world's problems here on earth. And the only way to solve a problem here on earth, folks, is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you leave this rotten earth, you'll go to heaven. This earth will be destroyed. Yeah, it'd be great if we could all get along better. But our ultimate calling, our ultimate job for the Lord is to evangelize, to go out to the harvest and spread His word, to make believers of all nations. Rick wants to work with all the different nations, but he don't want to tell them about the Lord. Now you tell me how blasphemous that is. Lord, I'm willing to work with all the nations. I'll go wherever you want me to, but don't ask me to take your word with me. Boy, that's nuts. That's just nuts. But that's what he's saying. Says in the Bible, Scripture, you know, Scripture, you know that. It exhorts us to contend for the faith that was given to us through the Hebrew prophets and the Bible. For faith comes from hearing the word of God. We're not to be contending for the unity of the faith. And that's what Rick Warren claims his peace plan is all about. The unity of the faiths, different faiths. You can believe in any God you want to. How in the world, you tell me something. Now think about this. We know Muslims believe in Allah and Muhammad. How can you get together with Muslims and sit down and come to agreement on all these wonderful things that Rick got in his mind about feeding the poor and solving the world's problems, and then say, hey, it doesn't matter who you believe in. I don't care if you believe in God. I don't care if you believe in Allah. It don't matter to me. How can you expect to do that? He's being so naive, folks, because I got news for him. Rick Warren, I wish you could hear this. I pray you somehow get a hold of it. But listen to me, Rick Warren. You may not take your God with you to try to unite with the Muslims, but they're not going to leave theirs behind. They're going to do everything they can to corrupt you, to convert you, and anybody else you put in front of them. You may leave your Jesus back home, but they won't leave theirs. They'll bring Muhammad with them. Their Allah will be with them. You're gullible to think you can work with Muslims or any other faith like that and expect them to just agree to forget about their faith and work with you to do these other things. It's insane. And it's anti-biblical, Rick. Anti-biblical. You're going to stand the judgment day in front of Jesus Christ himself one day, Rick. And what are you going to say? I thought it'd work. And what's Jesus probably going to say back to you? Did I not tell you in my word not to do this? But yet you thought it would work, so you thought you were smarter than me. You went against my word because you thought it would work. So you had faith in yourself, Rick Warren, but you had no faith in me, saith the Lord. I certainly would not want to have to answer to Jesus like that. But that's what's going to happen one day. Rick, the time will come, just like for every one of us, we have to answer to Jesus Christ himself. All judgment has been given to Jesus. Not to God, not to Allah, not to Muhammad, not to the Hindus God or nobody else, but to Jesus Christ. That's who you need to have. Folks, we love you. We'll see you again next week.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CampPoint, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.